Good morning, Little Church by the Sea. My name's Chris. I'm the worship leader here. Jeff had asked some of us to just share what was happening in our minds and in our hearts and our lives during this COVID experience. And so I am not a preacher. I'm not a teacher, but everyone has a voice. Everyone can share their experience and their heart, and all of us can read the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. My words fall to the ground, but these words transform our hearts and our minds and change us for the good, and I'm grateful for that. So to start off, I think this has been hard for me. I think it's been hard for everybody, but I'm a musician. Musicians thrive when we're together, when we play together, harmony happens, and notes clash together, and collectively we make a sound, and we're better together than we are alone. And I think that's true for so many things in life, for artists with color and for just all of us in general. So this isolation thing has been not fun. I know there's good that has come from it in some ways. It causes us to spend more time alone and not be distracted as much by normal things of life. For me, it's just been tough. It's just to be honest, it's not been fun. And I love, for instance, going to the mission in San Juan. I live right next to the mission, and that was closed for a couple months, and that kind of threw me for a loop, just because it was my place. It's my place to go and just be alone with the Lord. That helps me because I get easily distracted at home. There's always something I could do other than be with the Lord. And so that's been tough too. I do have good news though. I'm not just going to be a bearer of bad news. I know that what is on my heart to share today is the hope of heaven and to remind us all that the things of this world will pass away. The things that we hold dear that are in the physical realm don't last. And so in the Bible, the Lord is always encouraging us to be heavenly minded and to not put too much stake in the things of this world. And sometimes you go, you know, when you're younger, you're always like, man, the world is my oyster, and I just want to go out and make my mark. And that's no different for me growing up. I always wanted to, you know, make my mark in music and did my thing in LA and tried to get a record deal and all those things and all the things that I thought were so important. And they're not bad things. They're good things, but they're not nearly as fulfilling and important as a life in the Spirit. And when I say that, I mean a life in Christ and knowing Him and a daily walk with Him. Well, you know that verse in the Bible that talks about iron sharpens iron. You know, that's an act of being together. It might not be what you think of as loving, sweet fellowship, but we need each other to encourage each other, to challenge each other, to maybe bring awareness to each other. And, you know, as long as we're 6 feet apart, unless you have a long sword, that's, the irons don't touch each other, but this too shall pass, as far as you know, having to do the things we're doing because of COVID. But yeah, it's just been a challenge. I've been just also in the midst of this going through a time where my mom's real sick and not too much hope. They don't give her too much hope. And I know, you know, once we're all, none of us escape the moment of passing on from this life. And I heard a very wise man say this morning that if we really believe all the things we've taught in the church, then a lot of these hard things wouldn't matter so much. They wouldn't affect us so deeply. And we would be even encouraged about the next life and what's to come. And so I know for me, when I focus on some of these scriptures that talk about what's to come and talk about that heaven is our home and that we're strangers here and that we're citizens of heaven, that encourages me, helps me to get through some of the tough things in life. So I did, a few years ago, went through panic anxiety. I've shared probably with most of you before, having panic attacks and things like that. And in that moment of my life, it was a good solid 6 months of sheer panic and losing my mind. It's like nothing else mattered at that moment. It was kind of a gift that snuck up on me. As painful as it was and how horrible it was, it brought me to the place of, brought me to my knees and just like, oh God, have mercy on me, help me, I'm dying, you know. And so what happened was some of the things that just seemed so important to me in life, like position in life and making a name for myself and all those things just didn't hold a lot of water anymore. And it was like, all I could think about was, God have mercy on me and help me. And he started to really meet my prayer. And it's kind of where my journey, you know, spending time with him more began. I spent a lot of years as a worship leader in different churches, and I would do my job as best I could, but and I felt like I did a good job, but my intimacy with just knowing my Father was lacking. And with that, I realized what I was trying to find peace and fill my life with peace was probably just wanting affirmation and love from people. And all those things are in our human nature, so ingrained in our human nature. But if we feel a sense of worth from our real Father in heaven, that changes everything, because our security becomes so strong in him that we're not so concerned about what people think about us. We become more concerned about others. And that's the way I just would like to live. And I'm trying more and more to surrender to his will and not my will. So I love that that prayer, the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. I know my buddy Greg here prays that a lot, and I like to pray that a lot, the Lord's Prayer, just because it seems like the perfect prayer. It kind of covers everything. But one of the biggest things is it's asking for forgiveness, thanking God for what we need, asking for our daily bread. It's also surrendering our will to his will. And it just has everything in it. And I love that. My words that I'm saying to you today are fine. And telling my story is fine. Testimonies are good. Telling about how the Lord's changed my life and how God delivers us from evil and he's faithful. All those things are true and real. But there's something about reading the Bible and letting the scriptures wash our minds, and cleanse our heart, transform our lives, that's really real. And even when you don't feel it, I have a good friend who says, let the sacred word do its work. And you think about that. You think about that. We don't have to muster up anything to make that happen. We can just let the sacred word do its work. So there's something supernatural about the Word of God that does something when we read it. So I wanted to read a few verses that can help us today, I hope. And I know, you know, Jeff asked us to kind of share our story in this time and everything, but my story's not that great. And but the Bible's is super great. So let me start with this one. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So let the word of the Lord, let these words and this promise and this proclamation fill your being, fill your soul, release your heart to joy, release your mind to peace. And I'm going to read another one now. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. And Hebrews 6:19 says, but our hope isn't only for this life. In the midst of life's storms, our hope in God's promise of heaven is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. An anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Which means if we release our life and say, not my will, but thy will be done, we have a promise that our hope in this life is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, as we give our lives to Jesus. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And one last one, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. For we know that in our earthly house, this tent is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we think about these verses and we think that this body that they're talking about, what we're living in now is this body of flesh, and I'm 57. Feeling every ache and pain. I threw my back out last week lifting this crate of plates that my wife makes mosaics with, and I just turned the wrong way and I just went down with the plates and it took me out. Those of you out there that are over 45 know what I'm talking about. That most of us had back injury before, but we are frail humans, and I complain, but this is not my home. This body that I dwell in is temporary, And I just can't imagine what it would be like to not have the hope of eternity, to not know what happens when we pass away. I don't know if I could, with my history of anxiety, I don't know if I can handle that one at all. Praise God that He gives us the assurance of eternity and the hope of heaven. And that not only is it just a fantasy land or something that is ethereal, it's just as real as what we're experiencing now. I mean, when the Lord created the earth, He created the earth to be a dwelling place for man and woman to, for pleasure, for God, in a sense of we are His children on this earth. And it was this perfect place. And the sin of man messed things up. So here we are on this earth that was meant in the beginning to be a place of peace, a place of no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no sin. And these are things that we touch, and you know, the carpet here and the pews here and cars we drive, the inventions of man, the how we hurl heavy pieces of metal through the air and travel in 5 hours from coast to coast. All those things are miraculous, amazing that we've come up with these things. But so as real as all these things are, and the things that we love on earth, the ocean and the mountains and the beauty of the earth, these were all created by the Lord. The amazing fact that not one of us look the same, that He loves us so much that we're all individual and not one of us is the same. That's crazy. The fact that this heart in my chest is beating right now and there's no batteries. I got no batteries in my leg or something, you know. The fact that this flesh is just pounding, going on and on and on. What's keeping it going? We're all carriers of the miracle of God. And He's asking if we want to be carriers of the presence of God. And I've said yes to that. And that's what brings me peace. That's what brings me hope. I don't know how to live any other way. Even in my failings, I know that He loves me. Even in my worst days, He still loves me. And I have 3 sons, and I feel that way about them. They can't fail me. I could be hurt, but they won't change my love for them. And I can't imagine how much more God, who made us all individually, would think any other way except even more intense. This is a great quote in honor of Pastor Jeff Tacklin. I have a C.S. Lewis quote. But I wanted to read it. It's called Heavenly Minded. A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that it's the Christians that did most for the present world. And we were just the ones who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set foot on the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. That's a good one. So to close, I would just like to invite anyone who's never said yes to Jesus and never said, Lord God, not my will, but thy will be done. I would just invite you to say that now, today. If you're going through life right now not knowing what's going to happen in the future for you, fear of tomorrow, It doesn't mean all your fears go away. It just means you have someone to hold you through them. And that someone is the holder of eternity. He's the one who started from the first to the last, has never began, never will end. And it takes a step. It takes a step of faith. It takes just saying yes. The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, I just invite you, or he's inviting you. I can't invite nobody, but he's inviting you to say yes to him. Jeff, a lot of times we'll talk about the table of the Lord and how all are welcome to come and eat at the table of the Lord. And so today, that's your invitation. Come to the table. Come to the table and eat. And receive eternal life. And receive peace when you're in the midst of storms. If you'd like to do that, I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you can pray along with me and agree with me. And that's all you have to do. And then just get on the road to walking with Christ. Get on the road. And all that means is just daily waking up and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Not my will, but thy will be done. And read the Bible, pray, and the promise of peace comes. And you'll be able to walk through these tough times and navigate the rest of your life in a sense of like not having to have everything figured out, not having to have all the answers, but knowing that he's got the answers for us. So let's pray. Father, we surrender our lives again to you today. And we say yes to your will. And we say, not our will, but thy will be done. Pull us into your heart. And give us the peace that's beyond our understanding. Transform our minds and our hearts, that we would become more like your Son, filled with mercy and kindness for humankind. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.